Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Living Labyrinths with Athena Dugan. Greetings, Athena. How are you?
Fine. Hi. Thank you.
Hi. I'm looking forward to your show tonight. It sounds totally fascinating, as always.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, I'm excited, too.
You have two guests here on call, so I assume one of them will be Jennifer Phillips. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
And who is guest number two?
That I do not know.
Well, it'll remain a mystery until we figure it out. Until then, I hand the show to you, and I'll be here if you need me.
Okay, excellent. Great. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Athena. Excited to do this for you tonight.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So first I want to say hello to everyone and thank you for listening in tonight. And just so you all know, we're going to be talking to Jennifer Phillips. She's a return guest. And we're going to be talking about her evolving labyrinth journey and her reflections on the path. So I'm going to tell them a little bit about you, Jennifer, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Like, you've been mentored under Tracy Andrick, who is of One Path Labyrinth Ventures. You're also a Veriditas-trained labyrinth facilitator with Reverend Dr. Lauren Archeris. Jennifer has an herbal teaching garden in Northwest Rhode Island named Jenza's Garden. And it's in her herbal garden where she grows both medicinal and magical herbs. And usually in the autumn season, right, you give workshops helping people craft their own brooms. And it was a while ago that Jennifer, she self-described herself as a failed meditator until she discovered the labyrinth at her first New England Woman's Herbal Conference. There she found the benefits of a walking meditation, and it's been her mission since to bring the labyrinth to as many people as she can. How's that?
That sounds perfect.
Great. So before we get into what's been happening and you evolving on the labyrinth, I'm going to talk a little bit about the labyrinth and, you know, how a lot of people use it, and then we'll go into your journey, okay? So, all right, to walk a labyrinth is like a walking meditation. It helps quiet the mind. It helps relieve stress, and it opens your mind and spirit. And the walk proves to be beneficial, although for some, the labyrinth is just a pattern to follow into the center and back out to the entrance. You know, whether or not people reap the benefits of how the labyrinth could be changing or transformative, I think it definitely depends on how you walk it and if there's someone to help guide you or if there's a facilitator there to help you gain the experience. So the labyrinth is a continuous path, and it leads you into the center and returning you back to its entrance. And a labyrinth is not a maze. It's a puzzle that's designed to confuse you, and it has lots of dead ends. And within a labyrinth, you don't get lost. You stay on a single, circuitous path. And with a labyrinth, you find your center. You gain focus, clarity. And it's a time when you can reflect on your walk. And with a labyrinth, there's usually the three stages of the walk. You can help me with this if you like, Jennifer. But we know the three stages, right, that happens. It takes place within the meandering turns. So upon entering the labyrinth, we're releasing, We're like letting go and quieting our minds from any distractions, any countless thoughts or whatever is in our way.
Yeah, I like to tell people they're releasing their day, or that's one way to think about it, releasing their day.
Right, yeah. Sometimes I'll call it the mundane worries, but, you know, sometimes people are like, mundane. Yeah, and as we get through there, right, we find that we begin to receive, like as we're getting towards the center, or as we reach the center, right, we could stand in that center or sit in the center as long as we need to and just listen for the answers. We open our hearts. We be in that moment. And this, at the same time, when we're receiving, we can also be reflecting as well, right?
Yes. Now, often with the receive, too, sometimes it really depends on the crowd I'm working with and what comes to me intuitively. But a lot of times I'll let them know, if they don't have that aha moment where they don't feel like they received something, what they have received at that point is maybe a little bit more of an open mind or an open heart. So later on in the day or later in their dream time, for me, I'm a big dream time problem solver. And I'll say sometimes, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and then you go back to sleep. And in that second sleep, a lot of times when your mind is in that in and out stage, that might be where you're ready to actually receive if there is a message. So sometimes it takes a bit, but it does open up.
Yeah, that is true. Speaking of which, my dream was sort of like that last night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I went back to sleep and there was some answer, and I had to do a little divination on that too. So and it's also like when we leave the center, that's the third stage. It's the return. We're walking out of the labyrinth. That's when we're also reflecting and we're integrating our experience, and we're just taking that information back out into the world as we received it or however we may choose to use it.
No, and I think it gives people time. That return path just gives them that time they need just to... You're right, to reflect and to dwell on if they receive something immediate or just have that peace of mind.
Yeah. And I think, too, now what's happening, we're in a season of change, right? And change is upon us, you know, and this is a time when a lot of people begin to ritualize their life. They get routines, you know, because here it is, the fall season. I mean, for some, it's preparing for the return to school. You know, people are going either, they're changing their wardrobes, or for some people, it's a time for release and letting go, or it's for some, they might consider it the new year, or definitely a chapter to embark on their renewed commitments, you know, for the rest of this year. And what better way in which a lot of facilitators and a lot of labyrinth enthusiasts, what better way to celebrate the changing of the seasons is with the labyrinth walk, right? The labyrinth is growing in popularity. I mean, it's there. It's such a powerful pattern that it welcomes us to walk it, right? And we can address those changes that we're having within us, whether change is happening around us, you know, whether it's global or personally, we can walk the labyrinth, because it's always a great time for reflection. You know, it's a great time to sort of reestablish ourselves in our worlds or the world around us. You know, it's a time we can regain hope and focus. You know, as we continue to seek that path of calm and mindfulness, balance, and, you know, re-engage our spirituality.
That's definitely key.
Yeah. So as we know it, you know, we're saying the labyrinth is a metaphor for life's journey. And, you know, we walk it, like I say, to find answers, comfort, release, to reflect upon, you know, integrating change and to address change. And you and I, we had a conversation Like, it sounds like from the conversation that we had, there was a shift that happened. You were doing labyrinths on a campground, right? So tell me about that.
I was. Yeah. So you've caught me after. The summer has, I don't want to say been unkind to me because I count all my blessings. I'm in the Northeast. I'm in New England. And as you mentioned before, I have an herbal teaching garden. And it has been either raining for days. This summer for us was like, and I feel bad because there's so many droughts going on and fires. But here in New England and Rhode Island, it would rain for days. It would feel like weeks on end you would have rain and it would finally let up. And it would be, like, too hot to do anything. It was, like, rain, too hot. Oh, a nice, beautiful day. Like, all of a sudden, you know, August, we would have, like, one September day in August. And then it would be a heat wave the next day, and then it would rain. You're like, it just. So it got me in a bit of a funk. And I think when you reached out to me about it, it was really my funk pinnacle was happening. So when we last talked on this in the podcast last year, I was kind of off this high, like a lot of different things were happening. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting back into it. And I went into the summer where the campground, so it's a place that I seasonally camp and there's a lot of seasonal campers there. And that's all that was there this year, not any weekenders. And I made a temporary labyrinth. They weren't going to let me do a permanent one quite yet. You know, they're feeling me out and feeling out the labyrinth. So on my own kind of dime, I would go and I spray painted with the marking paint that we, a lot of labyrinth makers will use. Someone is semi-permanent and it can handle some rain. But I mentioned it poured. So it would, like, I could have been out there every weekend and I kind of got discouraged with the rain. And it's a sunny day, but oh, look, it's going to rain tomorrow for, you know, 3 days straight. So I'm not going to waste my money on that. And so it was a little bit, like, it felt defeating. And I would post about it occasionally in the on our Facebook page, our seasonal's Facebook page. And then a couple had reached out to me or pointed out, like, oh, where's the labyrinth? I couldn't find the labyrinth. I'm like, oh, I'll repaint it. And then a beautiful thing started. I had put out there, we have a lot of rock painters. I don't know if you do that in your community. But my town and the nearby towns do this, like, they paint a rock and they hide it somewhere and then you're supposed to find it and move it, and it's a thing.
Oh, neat.
So the campground does that. So I asked them, I'm like, hey, could you paint rocks for my labyrinth and we could make it kind of semi-permanent? You know, just go put them at the labyrinth. And then they started posting pictures of them adding rocks to the labyrinth. And then, like, the next weekend someone took them all.
Like, oh.
But then so I kind of got defeated again and I repainted. And recently I found out, and I just, because of the rain and how much I was doing, I haven't not got back to see it since, and no one posted pictures. They just told me about it. Is they got it almost finished with the rock. So my heart felt joy again. But I really, in that way that I couldn't keep up on the labyrinth and keep rebuilding it, has got into me a bit. You know, that I made a commitment, but got discouraged by the rain and then my own schedule. So that is, yeah, that's part of my reflection of, like, ooh, I wish I could have done more, but there's only so much time, and that the rain really killed me this summer.
Wow. So it's like you were, like, fighting against the natural elements to try to keep this labyrinth going. Wow.
Yeah. And not only at the campground, last year, I think when we talked, I had done some pop-ups in my town. And in the winter, I applied to do a adopt a space, and I chose a space where I could build a labyrinth. I knew it was going to be semi-permanent again, like just kind of temporary to fill out the town and see what they would let me do. And they said, here's your space. And I am like, great. And then had emailed off to the Parks and Rec person right before I was going to lay it down in the spring. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, in the fall, we're building a new playground there. I'm like, oh, okay, oh. It's only got a temporary space. But, okay, it's better than nothing. You know, and I did. I put it up, and I kept it up on my town page. And then the rain. Like, oh, should I go redo it? The rain. But I did get good feedback. And the Parks and Rec lady said, you know, they're going to try to find me another spot for next year. But I really need to, like, find my voice and say, I need to make this semi-permanent or permanent. What's your budget, town?
Right.
And see what they'll do.
Yeah, so when you do the temporary labyrinth for them, what do they leave the resources that you use or the materials that you use up to you, or do you work with a team of landscapers, or do they leave it all with you?
They leave it all with me, but the Parks and Rec are awesome because their budget for things they were doing because of COVID, they had extra surplus. So they were happy to buy the marking paint as much as I needed and when I needed it.
Wow.
I touched base with her more on the, like, hey, are they going to mow that lawn over there type of thing. But, you know, so that's where we would touch base. But, yeah, they let me just lay it out and do it as I felt fit. But I had a designated area, which it was a great, peaceful area. It was near one of our rec buildings, but one that was set back, so not many people were in it unless there was a dance class or this or that. So if someone wanted to go in and just have a quiet reflection, it was not much traffic, and it was near a little creek, so, yeah.
Okay.
Well, again, nice. I felt that, like, angst because it wasn't exactly what I wanted, and I have to, you know, that's part of the path, right? Sometimes it doesn't go, especially when you're walking a labyrinth for the first time, it might not turn the way you think it's going to turn, but you just follow the path.
Exactly. Wow. So these were challenges that the good thing about it is that you were able to overcome the challenges and still work with the resources or the materials that you had to make this labyrinth, right?
Yeah. It once you put it that way, it sounds like it. But when you are in that moment, even as a facilitator, but you feel so small. Who am I to do this? Why am I doing this? Why, like, am I doing? I had a lot of why am I doing this? Is anyone even walking this? Like, a lot of doubts, a lot of self doubts came. And I had higher expectations and more events that I wanted to do, like, hey, let me be there on a certain night, and then I can have people come and meet up, and I can explain it more. But it would rain.
Like, oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
I could have done more, but I gave up. But I struggled on. So it was a very much of a, I don't want to say dark night of the soul kind of thing, but...
But when that happened, though, when you had those self-doubts, what did you do to keep yourself focused and to make your labyrinth walks a success? What did you do?
Oh, you think I did it? No, I think I just gave into it. I just gave in, which is sad. But I have persevered. But where it really is going to go, because there's no doing them again. You know, the rain and the seasons and... I overschedule myself, but I put less time in than I thought. I had plans of doing some at my own property on Wednesday nights here and there, and it didn't happen. And this gave me a lot of, like, why am I doing it? I'm still in the middle of that, so I'm a natural, like, joyful, laughing person. I can usually get over all this. I was like, I'm going to be crying when I talk to Athena. No. I'd be, like, being interrupted, like Oprah. But I think the fact that I can talk about it, and I think that might be my lesson for other people right now, is being a labyrinth, though you mentioned they are getting more popular, they are not mainstream yet. It's a really, it's a hard sell. I am feeling I do feel blessed my town let me do it. Like, anytime someone lets me do it, I'm like, whoa, they let me do it. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I thought I heard something in the background.
Yeah.
So with that, I realized it's hard when you want 100 or 1,000 people to respond, but you get a handful, and you have to realize you're doing it for the handful that are doing it, and it's going to pass on.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I'm coming to this right now as we speak through it. So I think the best takeaway is we've chosen, me and you here, to do something that's not mainstream, even though it's getting popular. And that can be an upward battle. And sometimes I know I'll sit and going, why am I doing this? Like, I could be just reading a magazine, turning on the those girls on TV, Bravo, whatever, right? I could just live a mindless existence and not have to worry about anything. But instead, I choose to do this. And I have to remember there's a ripple effect. I have to remember that having the labyrinth there, even if only one person had walked it this summer, and I know there was more, that was something. Like, that's what I'm here for. And that
mm-hmm.
one person's experience, however she or he left that day and brought whatever joy or whatever they received, kind of rippled over to the next person they encountered for the next day or week.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm reflecting right now. That's what I brought. And next year I'm going to try it all again in the spring, and we'll see where it goes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So it's not like when you're struggling through this, you see a way out of it. And do you find like when you found yourself struggling with this, with the labyrinth, with against the elements, did you yourself, like, how did you work out the struggles? I mean, not just through your thoughts, but did you take a physical walk upon the labyrinth yourself to see if you can get answers, or how did you find yourself?
No, I definitely did. Like, there were times that I was just like, oh, why am I going to bother spray paint this or go do this? But I would get there and I would feel the energy and I would walk through it. And then I would take a picture and post it on Facebook to whichever group I just did it for. And then the feedback would come. And I hate to think that I just did it for the likes in the Facebook, because I know it's more than that. But sometimes we have to know that we are affecting people. But definitely walking through it. Each full moon and new moon, I think we talked about this last time, I do a labyrinth journal that I put out for a small monthly fee where people can go in and I talk about it. So I've done a lot of writing my way through the journal this summer on things.
Oh, great.
The first month or first moon I missed was just this new moon, which may be why I'm in such a funk right now. Going to make up for that during the full moon. But I've definitely been doing a lot of that journaling work, but within the labyrinth. So I will actually have a PDF of a labyrinth that you physically go in and write in. So there's a little meditation. And I do this too. Like, I do it for others, but then I do it for myself. And you go through like a meditation just to calm myself, running my finger through the labyrinth. Because with all this rain, you really can't get out and walk all the time. So, running your finger through the labyrinth, the finger labyrinth, and then picking up pen and paper and writing my way through. And sometimes it's amazing at the end, like what pops into my head afterwards or what I receive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main way I've been personally working with the labyrinth, is kind of journaling through it this summer.
That's great. So let me ask you, though, because it's like when people walk the labyrinth, I mean, they do walk to get answers or something, but it's not necessarily a themed walk. It's basically just walking for reflection or just walking.
Yeah.
But your walks that you do, and you said they're based on the moon, right, the moon energy, and
yeah.
they're reflecting from that energy. So
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Right. No, no. Okay. So these are your theme walks. Are these something that like anyone, if they want to do some reflecting, I mean, is it, can they do it anytime or is it just, I mean, more potent, like if you're working with the moon energy, I mean, these theme walks, I mean, do you get more energy from the theme walks or does it matter?
I think sometimes we want to go to a labyrinth and just walk, right? You just find one. I have one on my property and I have some finger labyrinths. I did a finger labyrinth right before picking up the phone to dial in tonight. And then I have one on my thing. So I think sometimes it's just good to like, oh, I'm feeling a little stressed or I need to do something just to walk through. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's time to set an intention. And I love working with the moons. So what I'm talking about is I have a teachable course. I call it a course just because it's the easiest thing, or a workshop, where people, it's $13 a month, and two PDFs a month will go up, a new moon PDF and the full moon PDF. And there's Audible, an audio track that goes with them. And I, you know, sit down for a few minutes and I tell someone about the moon, and I have written, reaching down right now for one of my labyrinths here. So the full moon that was on August 22nd was in Pisces. But hold on, I have a little note here. Becomes full at 8:02 in Aquarius, but enters Pisces at 8:43. That was in the AM. So really I'm thinking you could understand that it was Aquarius, and you understand that it went into Pisces. So people who really like astrology are kind of attuned to it. So I'll give a little bit of the astrology of the two signs. That day of week, it happened on a Sunday, ruled by the sun. You know, what kind of energy is that? And we were in the season of Leo, and Leo's ruled by the sun. So, you know, so I'll give a little, you know, hey, what kind of energy is going on? How can you use that to, you know, set your intentions or manifest or think about something? Because sometimes in this, I want them to journal. I might self-journal. I'm looking through mine, and it says, things are opening up, changing. Got to read around. I have bad writing when I'm just doing this. But, you know, I want someone just to kind of go in and with that energy of the, you know, if it's the new moon, we might be setting intentions. If it's the full moon, what are we manifesting? So with that kind of full moon, new moon energy in relationship to where's the moon? Another reason I thought I was going to be crying tonight for some odd reason is the moon's in Cancer. So like, oh, very watery tonight, Athena. It's very watery.
Yeah.
Right. So it's an emotional day. Wow. So, you know, how's the moon affecting you? Where is it zodiac wise? And now let's just put your pen to paper and free form journal. And as you said about me, which was in my bio, is I'm a failed meditator. I'm also a failed journaler. Like some people have these great journals and diaries, and I envy that. But I'm too ADHD to like sit down and write. But with the labyrinth journal doing that, I just have to write until I get to the center and then I'm done. Profound things happen. So yes, I find sometimes doing the labyrinth journal, or you go to an event where someone's facilitating a specific topic, or might do a meditation to open your heart, or meditation to find joy, or this or that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that specific intention is good and can be a little bit more powerful if the whole group is manifesting that, or that is their intention.
Right.
Does that answer your question in a wordy way?
No, that's great. A group dynamic and, working with the themed labyrinth walks. That's great. So when you're, like, you were working with these labyrinths in the rain, right, or you would do them, and then the next day it would rain, and you were experiencing a lot of self-doubts and these challenges. Did you did you want to just quit right there and not do it anymore? And how did you bounce back from those self-doubts?
Yeah, I'm that's a hard one. I did not like want to quit everything, but mm-hmm. I am a big believer. If you make a commitment, you should follow through. And I knew if I stopped then, especially if no one was watching them, who would know if I quit or didn't do it, right? But I would know. So just keeping, and I feel in a little ways I kind of failed myself a little bit, but keeping my own word mm-hmm. that I was going to make a labyrinth and maintain it for the town, which meant I would have to go and look. Now, it's been probably a couple of weeks since I've gone and redid it, and we had some rain, but I feel, summer's over, my commitment's done, I'm okay to walk on. Same thing with the campground, though I think this week sometime I am going to, probably both, I'm going to make time this week to go refresh them before I go off for the weekend. Because I am actually facilitating a labyrinth of events for the weekend, and I'll go into more of that in a moment. But
okay, yeah, tell us more about that a bit. Yeah.
Okay, so it kind of goes back to where you were first mentioning that I discovered the labyrinth at the New England Women Herbal Conference. I want to say that was back in 2010 or 12. I'm horrible about dates, but I have a t-shirt somewhere if I ever found it that would tell me which date it was. actually probably a bunch of, I don't need to go look, but anyways, it was either 2012 or 2010. I went to the New England Herbal Conference. That's when I discovered, and I started making them for myself. And eventually I met Tracy, and then eventually I got my facilitator's training. So it's been a long path there. But kind of in that coming back home to where I originally saw it, unfortunately, the New England Women's Herbal Conference is no longer. Hopefully it might come back, but with COVID and a few other things, it did not come back. So kind of to fill that void, we for the last few years, at a different time of the year, would have the Rhode Island Herb Fest. But the Rhode Island Herb Fest is kind of stepping up this year to be a more three-day weekend at a campground, very similar to what the New England was, to kind of fill a little bit of a void there. And I submitted to build a labyrinth. I have done it at their smaller weekends, but I'm doing it again. So I'm doing a three-hour intensive on Friday. So I'm going to have everyone that attends that intensive. I don't know how many people have yet. It could be me and a bucket of flour. I'm doing flour. but I usually I get a few more people. It's usually who I'm up against.
mm-hmm.
but there's only a couple other classes I'm up against. So I think I'm good. So I wanted to build a community sacred space for that weekend. It can be an intense weekend. You're in a crowd for, 3 days straight. So I wanted to build a space where people can come to do what they need to do. So I'll have people for 3 hours. We will build. First, I'll probably do a one-on-one. This is what a labyrinth is. I'll have everyone that attends that build it together. Mm-hmm. I put out, bring flowers, bring herbs, bring what you have. Let's decorate it. I've done that in the past at the smaller Rhode Island Fest. I had kids help me before. That was fun. And then it will be, a place for the weekend. And then I go on, and the next day I teach an herbal class, an herbal astronomy. If you heard me talk, I was just talking about the moon and the sun. So it will be a class kind of on that and how plants are associated to herbs and sun. And then I just found out I'm actually leading an herb walk, which will be fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a great weekend.
Cool.
And I'm hoping.
Great.
Yeah. So I guess back to your question about how am I moving forward with it? And I just think, this weekend's coming up, and hopefully it will recharge my batteries in that labyrinth way.
Okay.
Building these pop-ups are nice, knowing people can hopefully use them. But what recharges my battery for real is being able to actually be there with people. And I guess this summer I really haven't been able to be with people on it, because I'll be like, oh, I'll be on the labyrinth. I'll be at the campground this day. If anyone wants to stop by the labyrinth and talk about it, and I'll be like, all right, I've sat here for an hour. I've done a couple walks. I guess I'll just walk on. So I haven't gotten that recharge from people to say, oh, look at that person. That person walked through the labyrinth, and I can see a difference. Because I don't know about you, but I feel the energy of the labyrinth, and I feel the energy of the people in the labyrinth at the time. So you know how the energy changes. You know when you're holding space, you're standing around that labyrinth. You facilitated it. You have everyone standing around. You have someone walking in, and you feel the energy shift and change with them.
Yes,
and you know
exactly.
They had a powerful experience. And if you're in a small enough a group, or in a group that feels opened enough or held enough that, you know, people in the group are able to reflect upon their experience out loud, and then you're like, yes, okay.
I mean, yes.
This is why I'm doing it. That one person right there needed this moment. Okay, it's all right. I can go through another year of like, do they like me? Are they doing this? You know, like, and I don't know why I manifest it personally. I take it so personally. And it's not about me. It's about, you know, get your ego out, Jennifer, and just build the labyrinth. They will come. But what if they don't come?
Right.
Oh, no. Build it. They will come.
Yeah, that's what I think. Build it. They will come. I mean, I did a I did a global healing response labyrinth walk at this past Philadelphia Pagan Pride Day, which turned out to be better than I had anticipated, because I had those worries that I made a completely different labyrinth, and I was nervous that I couldn't get it right. And then when I made a mistake, I mean, the mistake wind up being noticeable to me. And like, if someone else saw the labyrinth, they would say, oh, the measurements are off, or this is too, you know, but it worked out. The people got the experience, and it was wonderful to see them transform, you know, and to allow their struggles to go into the container, the center of the labyrinth. That's what I call the center of the container, even though the outside is, I mean, or just the labyrinth itself, the entire labyrinth is a container, because you're walking around the path and you're just releasing and receiving and returning, and, you know, it's like an ongoing process. But, I had like a lot of challenges going on that day, and I think I almost overextended myself, but that commitment and you as a facilitator, and you yourself, you just have that commitment to keep going and make that happen, because you know you're holding space for someone, you're helping them get through that point of transformation and change.
Right. I mean, we're healers in a way. Facilitators, healers, we're something that's needed out there.
Yeah.
And I think very sensitive people are facilitators usually, just because by the nature of it. So I think that can be sometimes hard on us. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those introverts that people think is an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
My energy does not come from like, ooh, let's go party and be in large crowds. My energy comes from like stepping back, but also helping. So if it is a large crowd, I will get recharged knowing that I helped, and then I can like cocoon back.
I agree. It's almost that empathic energy too.
Yeah.
It's like, you can be with that crowd, but, you know, you have to also guard your spirit too, because you can absorb a lot of that energy. And then at the same time, you're supposed to be holding space. So that's a challenge on its own. And luckily, I mean, that's something that we are trained to do, hold space, yeah, and be able to take care of ourselves at the same time.
No, and that taking, as a labyrinth facilitator, you know, that taking care of yourself and making sure you do hold that space, like, you know, it's like, oh, look at everyone's walking through the labyrinth. I want to walk through the labyrinth too, but you're not, like, that's not my role today. My role is to guide them through it, to hold that space, and I can do mine later. But yeah, just being part of their energy and being, yeah, part of all that, and know that you facilitate is very rewarding, you know.
Yeah. So going back to reflecting and stuff. So when you're reflecting on a labyrinth for yourself, do you find yourself, when you're walking through the labyrinth, do you find yourself, like, how is your experience? Are you talking out loud? Are you, like, how are you reflecting as you go through the labyrinth? I mean, is your process the same, or do you just go with the flow and the energy of what's around you?
I definitely would say I go with the flow. So you have mentioned Tracy before, and I have been to events, rituals at her house where she had a labyrinth, or she has a new house now. I'm very excited, mm-hmm, for her and what she's going to do and build there. But
yeah,
it's going to be a song with her labyrinth. Very exciting. And, you know, you're in this kind of ritual space. And that I think you're doing and you're with other people, and I'm not facilitating, you know. And you're in that group, and you're just that group vibe, which is holding space with other people, being part of this, all this energy together. And then there's I work in customer service. I talk with people on the phone. Sometimes the energy gets down, and I have my 45-minute lunch break. And thank you, COVID. I know COVID's bad, but I get to work at home, and I feel blessed for that. So if there's positive of COVID, me working from home, like, you know, not less than a 5-minute walk to my personal labyrinth. So I can go in there, and that's different. That's just letting go, releasing that day. Mm-hmm. And I'm inside, and the colors change. The woods. There's some green there because some grass is growing a little bit in it, and there's blueberry bushes growing in it now, and and different things, kind of woodland things grow within it, though I would chip it. But I let things grow too. And it's a different green when I step in. And I feel that different energy. And then I usually try to let it go, but I'm not talking. I'm maybe talking internally, but I try to quiet down on it. And, mm-hmm, you know, if I was out in the wild, can I just say, I am jealous of you, Athena. I see you at these different labyrinths. I'm like, oh, I want to live that life. I never seem to get out to a different labyrinth here or there. I need to. But as one of these ADH, I have way too much to do. I overbook myself. But I would like to do that kind of sabbatical where I just, like, I am going to hit every single labyrinth that I can. But then I would probably make that to something.
Yeah, I have to thank my friend, because he's like, like whenever we travel, he like makes sure that we hit up a couple of labyrinths in that town. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm like, yes,
yes,
you know, have a labyrinth,
awesome,
we'll travel. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, so my experience can be different. Now the winter's time is coming. I've made myself a little, like, 5x7 labyrinth on canvas. It's just a rectangle, a different pattern. Mm-hmm. It's more of a spiral, not quite a spiral. It's snakes. And I'll lay that down in my bedroom, and I'll walk that if I need to.
Great.
But it's more of finger labyrinths in the wintertime. So, yeah, I think it mm-hmm. depends what is needed is how I'm going to walk through, but usually quiet.
Yeah. So what about So what challenges would you face this winter for labyrinths and locations? What about the, you said something about you adopt a spot. Now, is this something that you can do labyrinths in the wintertime, or would you? I mean, I would think that you have more of the elements to work with then. I mean, some people still do labyrinth walks in the winter.
Yeah. So this elaborate adopt a spot I got is this fall. They're going to break ground and make a playground. So that spot is gone. I'm going to reach out to my Parks and Rec lady before the springtime and saying, hey, is there another spot for me? And see, again, if I can do a little bit more. So for the outdoor ones, I'm going to have to, I let it go. I really live seasonally. I always tell people I live by the turn of the wheel. You know, so at this time, September, it's about putting the garden to bed. It's about starting making brooms because it's my busy time for brooms. And what will happen is kind of in that winter when I go in and I curl up and I read, not just like fiction, but like I'll go in like, oh, let me find this new herb book. Let me find, like, what am I into? What do I want to learn more about? Mm-hmm. But it's also a time to open up two different locations, shops. I have lucky enough to have two labyrinths that I made. Well, so I just told you about the 5x7. But I have two larger ones that I can take to locations. So I have I have a 10x10, which is a 4-circuit. That seems wrong. I want to say it's a 5-circuit, but it must be a 4-circuit. Mm-hmm. So only one person can go in at a time. But being a smaller shop, it's a 10x10. It means that I'm in a smaller location. I probably have no more than 6 people doing the event, which is a perfect number when you want people who are doing it for a first time to kind of open up. And they're, when they go in, they're all by themselves and everyone else has that experience to learn to hold space, which is
That's
also
great.
Part of the experience is to learn to hold space, to learn to feel energy. And then I also have a 15x15, which is a 7-circuit.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a 7-circuit. Is it a 5-circuit? Oh, I can't believe I'm doubting myself. 7-circuit. 15x15, 7-circuit.
Well, it's nice that we have this circuits that can really make a difference. I mean, and it's, lately I've been liking the 5-circuit. And the 3-circuit I like, but if I'm going to make it, it has to be, like, bigger. But if I'm going to do that, I say, well, may as well make it a 7. May as well. You know, I keep pushing myself. So that's a challenge that I face for myself. It's like I keep pushing myself to see what I can make bigger and wider you know, with all these different labyrinth shapes, why not? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. So, you have some events. We're cutting down to – we're getting really close to the end here is 9:50. Yeah. Tell me, you have some events. You have an event coming up this weekend. You want to leave us the information? Okay.
Well, that event is already booked up. It was the Rhode Island Herb Fest. But find out more where I'm going to be or where I'll be at is www.jenzasgarden. So it's JENZAS, like Sam. Garden, so jenzasgarden.com. And I'm somewhat good about putting up my events, but there is a link to, I call it the Moon Worshippers Labyrinth Journal. So there is a link to that if anyone's interested in learning more. I have some like promo videos to tell you what I do and if they're in it or not and into it. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it calls to you, it calls to you. I'm out. No labyrinth facilitator is making $1 million. And I'm fine with that.
And they can follow you on Facebook.
They can follow
me
Facebook at Labyrinths by Jenzas Garden. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, it's simply just at jenzasgarden.com.
Oh, great. I'll follow you, too.
Thank you. And I do have a new one, which is Brooms by Jenzas. So I'm excited about my brooms. Which is like labyrinth work in a weird way, because I do a lot of spirals in my broom.
A lot of
Sparkles. Yeah. So
awesome.
Every broom maker has their little like signature. As I'm going up a broom and I'm weaving up a broom, it kind of sometimes it does a little spiral, which is a form of a labyrinth. This one does a lot not.
Okay. I have a quick question for you too.
Yeah.
Now, do you think, I'm forgetting my question. It was about reflection. Now, do you think reflection, like as you're walking a labyrinth, that can be taught, or it's a natural thing that happens? Because when you reflect, I mean, I would think you automatically want to journal, but not everybody journal their reflections. So do you think that's something that you can be taught how to reflect, or is something that just happens naturally as we walk through the labyrinth?
I think it is something, especially if you are going through the first time or going through some time, I would suggest always, if you could ever go with a facilitator, because I don't think reflection could always be taught. I think it can be taught, and I think some is natural. And just because it doesn't come to you naturally, if someone may push you in the right direction, and then you think about it. Some people might not think that it's a time for reflection. You know, they might see a labyrinth. They're like, oh, I'm just supposed to walk through it and this will calm. You know, I think reflection is something you really have to deliberately think about doing.
Right.
Or that's me, ADHD girl.
Oh, great. Okay, great. So thank you. So thank you for that answer, Jennifer Jenza.
I answer to it all.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay, everybody. So if you don't have a labyrinth in your own hometown or in your backyard or have access to one right away, you can look up on the Labyrinth Locator, labyrinthlocator.com, and you can find a labyrinth in your locator, in your area, or you know somewhere close. It's called the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator. So check that out, and hopefully you guys will get to walk a labyrinth. And before we leave, I just have a quick labyrinth blessing. I found this on Pinterest, and I really love what it said. And to me, it just sums up when we walk the labyrinth. Or it's just a blessing. May you be well and happy. May you walk in peace and know yourself to be beloved on the earth, held and blessed by all that is. And so it is. So that's my little bit that I added to it. So
nice.
Great. Thank you. I want to thank you all for listening. And if you decide to revisit this podcast, please leave a message in the comment box and you can let us know if you enjoyed tonight, or you can let us know your interest in the labyrinth. And if you have any questions for Jennifer or for myself, you can either contact her through jennifergarten.com, or you can go through the podcast where we have our comments box. And you can get in touch with me. You can follow me on Facebook at Walkers of the Labyrinth. And also, I do online finger labyrinth walks and meditations on the, I think it's on the last Friday of each month at 7 p.m. You can join me there at it's Labyrinth Walking Philadelphia PA /meetup. So it's a meetup group, so you can join me there if you like. And I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank Jennifer Phillips for returning and sharing her reflections and her evolving labyrinth journey, and I hope you guys get to meet her and experience one of her walks. And thank you, Hercules, for providing us with this show and Living Labyrinths. So good night, everyone.
Good night,
good night.
And
thank you
both of you for an awesome show, and I'm looking forward to the next one already. Thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you dialed in and you're on our board, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to close with Virginia Ackley's Golden Bough.
Children of Earth and Children.